Okay, so we are at Simon Rishman Beis. Last week, there's a long list of ways of giving kavod. A lot of them is somewhat repetitious from Hilchos Kibud Av Eim, and a lot of it is we're going to learn shortly, hopefully tonight if we get there, is not necessarily so applicable Bizman Hazeh. So we'll start with Kav Beis just because this probably is somewhat applicable and it has an interesting ramification to it. So Ra Rabbo and Kav Beis, we'll just do it in Shulchan Aruch, although it's based on a Gemara Maseches Eruvin. Ra Rabbo Uvral Lo Lamdatsani Rabbeinu Kach B'Kach. So the Chaver says, right, if you see your Rebbe that is violating something that is a Dindo Raisa, so you say to him, didn't Rebbe teach us, or Rebbe taught us so and so? You don't necessarily, or didn't Rebbe teach us so and so? Similar to the parents, but it's directed as opposed to saying, you're doing the wrong thing. So comes the Rama and adds, "V'imratza lava rakal isuri d'rabanan." Now I'm not sure why this isn't. It's, the Gemara says both. The Gemara is in Maseches Eruvin, where there is a discussion between. I think Rava gives orders. I think what happened was there was a bris on Shabbos and they spilled the hot water. And hot water was, you had to have hot water for a bris. So he gives directions to carry it from next door. Because you carry it from next door, it's only going to be violated in the Rabbanan. There was an Eruv up. So someone else said, no, you can't bring it once the Eruv is down. He says, okay, but there's still a sheet of Mavos and therefore it's only in the Rabbanan anyway. So it says, no, there's no Mavos. There's no sheet of Mavos. That also doesn't exist. So then Rava stuck. So Rava said, all right, fine, have a non-Jew go ahead and bring it. So I think we actually passed it, that's okay. But the other Amora said, I couldn't tell him not to because when there's a question of violating the Doraisa, do you tell him not to beforehand? But if he's only going to violate it in the Rabbanan, so you let him do it, then you ask him afterwards, why do you do it in that particular way? So that's what the Rama. So the Gemara quotes both ends. So the Mechaber, for some reason, only quotes the front end, only quotes the idea that the Doraisa, so it's not appropriate to say it explicitly, just ask him. Comes the Rama and says, V'imratza lava rakal yisuri the Rabbanan, and if he wants to violate only an Issa Durabanan, afilu hachi tzarech limchus biyado. You still have the right to protest, which seems to actually be against the.
It's more than the right, it's a tzarech.
Right, tzarech limchus biyado. So you should protest, right. Which seems to go against that Gemara. Why is that? So the Shach explains here, Hoel uvaru lo she'omid al iser. That's because it's clear to you that he's going to violate an iser. So I assume Trumas Hadesh and Shama Gam Gim Dafil B'Safik Lo Yishim Chos B'Yad, that maybe you should protest. V'may Dam Binu Perek Hadar, that which it says over there, meaning in Irvin, Ayin Irvin, it says B'Isir D'Rabbanan Avdinan Uvdan V'Hadar Mosfinan, that says he could let him do it and then only after you ask him. Hainu Kishabal Lahoros Halach L'Maisa. That's when he's all, that has to do with a psak. Right, umistama misyashiv shapir lahoros kedas kedas, that he'll be able to explain why he passed in that particular way. Lashenkin kisharo rabo sholeach yad, you see him actually go ahead and do it. Lasos davar iser v'chin hayonir iker elisharav nimshach achar mashem esik b'trumas hadashen sham de'in l'dakte kulehai. Right, that you. V'chin hayonir iker, and you think that you're right, but the rabbi is going to do it, so you shouldn't be so careful. Meaning well, if you're not sure, so then you could ask. But if you're sure, so then he's saying that you should protest. You should tell him that they've got a problem. So then he continues on and says, however, haroa rabo osem maisa v'yishlo lahakshu salsa, and you can ask him on this, right, imhu iser do raisa yikshelo kodem, so you should ask him beforehand, the maisa v'imhu iser do rabanan yanichu laso samaisa, and if it's an iser do rabanan, so then you let him do it, and then you can go and ask him that, right? So this is where you see him. We have the opportunity to ask. So you don't necessarily know that he is violating, rather, you should ask him the question. So the first one is, you know he's going to violate it, in which case you would protest right away. But if it's only questionable to you, so then you could let him do it first, and then you can ask him after why he went ahead and did that. Doesn't that seem like it should be problematic? But wait a second, won't he then go ahead and violate it? Isn't that the problematic? This is actually the source for the probably the most famous Nesivos in the entire Nesivos HaMishpat, which is we talked about this in Shul, maybe last year, the year before, that the Nesivos says that one who violates a Din D'Rabbanan is only one who violates a din de rabbanon b'shogeg isn't chayiv. It doesn't have to do tshuva for it. He hasn't done anything wrong. Because the whole violation of doing din de rabbanon is violating the words of the rabbanon. If you didn't realize you're violating the words of the rabbanon, so then you're not going to require any tshuva for it. So that's like a very famous nesivus. That's one of the main sources for the practice that some have. Of not alerting the Olam that the Eruv is down, right? Because if there's an Eruv up in the first place, so that means that it's only that at worst it's only an Issur Derabanan, so therefore by definition, so this Nesivus would say. So those many argue on this Nesivus, but the main source, if you look up the Nesivus' main source is this Gemara Maseches Eruvin, saying that if the Rebbe looks like he's about to violate an Issur Derabanan, so then you should go ahead, you could ask him afterwards, he's going to violate the din, so that's the Nesivus. That's okay. If he violates it, then he's only violating it b'shogeg anyways, and he's not going to be required to do any tshuva for it. So others argue on that. That's not the pshat in the Gemara. The pshat in the Gemara is the Radbaz is I saw quoted, but others I'm sure would say this as well. Say no, that's not pshat in the Gemara. The pshat in the Gemara is you could ask him afterwards because the stakes aren't so high, and the Rebbe's probably doing the right thing anyways. I mean, you just don't understand what he's doing. He's probably going to have a good answer. The Nesivus' assumption is that he's not going to have a good answer, and therefore, but there's not so much to lose. The other approach is no. He's probably doing the right thing. You just don't know why. So you could let him go ahead and do it. The stakes aren't so high, and then you'll ask him afterwards what the problem is. So the whole source for that Nesivus coming from this Gemara is a little questionable. So anyways, that is the din of the Rebbe who looks like he's about to do something wrong.
You explained the Gemara, it was an error that was in question, right?
Yes.
So
that could potentially be a Doraisa, meaning in Gemara land, that could be a Doraisa issue.
How they put up an error thing?
The way we make Eruvs today using a Tzuras HaPesach is a problem if it's a Doraisa issue. If it's a Doraisa area, they're talking. The assumption of the Gemara seems to be that it might have been an Isser Doraisa, and they did some. They were supposed to do something in order to mitigate it to be down to the Rabbanan. I assume that's what it means. Although it's a good thing. I mean, yeah, usually when the Gemara comes up, the Gemara's discussion of Eruvin is usually as a case of a Din Derabanan, not as a Din Doraisa. But the implication there is for Doraisa. Yeah, it is. There's also an issue in Hilchos Eruvin. Not all the Rabbanans are created equal. Like there is, like Eruvin, for some issues is it's clear that it's only an area that's a Derabanan, and therefore it's only going to be a Derabanan. And sometimes it's questionable whether it's because it's a Derabanan or it looks like it's a Derabanan. I gotta remember. It's there's some sheets of Mavos, which might actually be it. I don't remember the deal. But the Gemara clearly is making that distinction. Could be Tosos there and ask, hey, wait a second, that's not a Din Derabanan, that's only a Din Derabanan, but okay.
Somehow I always envisioned this Din as referring to Rebbe was getting old and forgetful or something. In which case, that's not what it says, but that's sort of the way I see it in my mind's eye. And you wonder, does he really know what he's doing? Is he just doesn't remember? Who knows?
Uh-huh.
But I guess, depends. I guess that doesn't change the Din,
Uh-huh. Okay. There's a story that Rabbi Tursky, or Mayor Tursky, said, and he has a hesped that he gave for his brother, Rav Moshe Tursky, where he said that the story of the Brisker Rav, that he was once he davened loudly. The Rav also, for something like daven, you can actually hear him daven.
Daven.
You heard him?
Yeah, I was in Lyon, he was still there, yeah.
And you could hear him.
Yeah, if you went to meeting with him, a lot of times he said things pretty loud.
Uh-huh. So apparently Rav Brisker did this also, and one time it was Rosh Chodesh, and he left out Yalav Yavo.
Oops.
And everyone heard him. Yeah. So the guys tried nudging him. You're like, Yalav Yavo, Yalav Yavo. And he didn't hear. He was still focused in here. So afterwards, someone pointed out to him, I guess, in accordance with Halacha, isn't one supposed to say Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, I guess? To which he said, I must have left it out. Why didn't anybody remind me? Right? And I was like, I don't know. Tried to, etc. So the point in the Hesped was that he clearly was so concentrated, he didn't know what was going on around him. He said, my brother died in the middle of him davening Shemona Esrei. He didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Okay, so there is a shach here at the end of Mem Gimel where he says, Mihu, there's shach Mem Gimel. Oh, sorry. Mem Gimel is on the next one. So let's go to Chaf Dalet. So in Chaf Dalet it says, L'yom or davar shalosh shama mirabo ad shiyaskir shem amro. That one should not say something which he did not hear from his Rebbe until he mentions who he heard it from. That's also a... that's also based on a Gemara. Right. That everybody, you should hear what you... quote whoever you said it from. So the implication here, though, but if you don't quote somebody, so where did you hear it from? So obviously you heard it from your Rebbe. And the only people you have to quote are those that aren't your Rebbeim. That isn't that is if you didn't hear it from your Rebbe. If you quote something and you don't attribute it, so then everybody assumes that it came that it comes from your Rebbe. Right, that's the din.
Skip
Chaf Gimel. Yeah, skip Chaf Gimel. Yeah, if you say something to him, right, you should say this is what you taught me, right? But here, lo yomar. But you shouldn't. If you're saying something to somebody else, so they'll assume that you're speaking in the name of your Rebbe. So you should only have to quote people that aren't. So the shach here says, right, and he explains that svara. And in the middle of the shach, he picks up with umihu. So mihu achshav. He says, however, nowadays it's about 2/3 of the way into the shach. So he says, mihu achshav, but nowadays stam masha adam omer sovrim olam shuhumi piatzal. He says that nowadays, however, if a person just says something plainly, it doesn't say who he's quoting it from, so they assume that he made it up himself. Meaning, back in the old days, everything came from the Rebbe. So if everything came from the Rebbe, so people assume you heard from the Rebbe. But he says, it doesn't apply anymore. Nowadays, if you don't attribute it, right, if I just say a din, so I don't think most people are going to say, oh, it must have been that he heard that in Shir and Rashat Shir, right? That's not what people are going to say. They're going to say, oh, he made it up himself. So therefore, v'hilkach ha-din mishtana. Essentially, he uses that language. Therefore, the din changed. Not exactly the din change, but the halacha is different now. We call makom badai the aser lomer bistam. So therefore, it's prohibited to say something plain without attributing it. But kol shekein mishim atzmo davar sheshama meacherim davi misati v'tal sheinu shelo. And certainly to say something in his own name, something that he heard from someone else, that's a problem. It's like putting on a talis that isn't yours.
Well, to say it's stam, yeah. He doesn't attribute it to anyone.
Also, correct, right. What that connection, I mean, that's an interesting parallel that he's making. That's like putting on a towel so it isn't yours. Okay, but you're not allowed to, if you did hear from somebody, so then it should certainly be attributed. So in the Sefer Pesachim Mutshuvos, which he didn't have, he points out that there is a further din, which I think we came across already, and that is that one is permitted to quote something in the name of somebody if you didn't hear it from them. If you need to prove something, if you need to say a din, and no one's going to listen to you, so say, no, I heard from X, this person, so you're allowed to say, oh, I heard it from him, even though you didn't actually hear it from him. So that's a Gemara. A Gemara in two places has a story like that, that there was a discussion between two Amoraim, and one of them, and they were telling how we're going to do this. One said, no, this is what we should do. I mean, you, one of the cases was also Maseches Eruvin. One says to the other, oh, you could rely on me. I know which tree I'm talking about, and therefore you could connect to me. And that's the brisa that I heard from Rabbi Yossi. And then the Gemara comments, the truth is Rabbi Yossi never said any such thing. But that's the correct din, and therefore you're allowed to say something in someone's name, even though if you didn't say it, in order to convince the other person to paskin like you. So in the footnote of the Pesachim Mitzvah, as he points out, that seems to be Soser, another din, where it says that we are prohibited from to quote somebody and then something in the name of somebody else if they... But they didn't actually say it. He says, no, but this halacha is when it's a davar, if it's an obvious halacha, now again, obvious is in the eyes of the beholder, but if it's an obvious din, so then you're allowed to quote it in that particular way. There is a famous line that the Chassam Sofer had, I don't know if it's really a story or a line, but apparently the Chassam Sofer used to say, tell people with his, Chassam Sofer actually was in the business of sending Rabbanim out to various communities, to be rabbis and communities. So this legend goes that he used to say to them before he left, is I give you permission to say anything that you want to say, anything in my name that you want to say in your name, I give you permission. You could say everything that I said in your name, just don't say anything that you say in my name. That was his point. Okay, so the next thing where I hope to get to tonight is the din here in Lamed about where he crosses off the Talmud, the idea of having a Rebbe Muvak Bizman Azat. That's Sif Lamed and then Sif Lamed Aleph. But out of time, so short cheer. Picked it up next week.